Good day, beloved children of God. This is Father Ivan Olmo of St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today we will be reflecting on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world." Beloved Father, we love you, and we thank you for listening to us. How beautiful it is that you draw all attention to us, poor children of God that we are, poor children of Mary that we wish to be. Thank you, dear Lord, for speaking to us, to help us to hear your sweet voice always calling us and drawing us near. And now, dear Lord, that you have been so gracious to be with us in this moment, draw our attention to you. Please, Father, please open our poor lips to praise your holy name. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of any worthless, evil, distracting thoughts, feelings, or desires. Please, Father, give us the wisdom and the love to pray now and always to you with true attention and devotion. May our prayer be heard here in your presence, for it is offered through Christ, your beloved Son, our beloved Savior. Parables. Parables are the ways that Jesus speaks to us. He uses common, ordinary things that we use every day. And the parables are meant for us to really contemplate and spend some time thinking about what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is saying to you. It's meant for us to really spend some time and think, what is the kingdom of God? And what is it like? We might want to consider that the kingdom of God is who God is. The kingdom of God is a person. It's God. And God invites us into himself. And he wants the kingdom of God to dwell inside of us. And certainly the most real and profound way that the kingdom of God enters into us and we're able to enter into God's presence, God's holy grace, that is to live in the fullness of the life of God into heaven, into God Himself is the Eucharist. That when we receive the Eucharist, we are partaking of the essence of God's infinite love and divine mercy. And my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God has come into our midst, and it now dwells inside of us. Truly, really it does. And it is at this moment of Holy Communion that we can enter into God, into His presence, into His heart, into His life, into His being, into the kingdom that has been prepared for us from the beginning of time, that we have been made to live with God, to dwell with God, to share with God in all His goodness and His beauty, in all His love and His very essence and being. God welcomes us into Himself, into His heart, into His mind, into His kingdom. And we hear Jesus speak to us of this kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand, but we must repent and believe in the gospel. And that is for us to be converted, to be changed, to change the direction of the things in this world that lure us away from the kingdom, that distract us, that want to pull us away from who we are created to be. We're created to be Holy Communion with God. And so our Lord wants us to be converted, to repent from all those things that have become important to us, more important to us than God, than His relationship, than His kingdom. All those things that really become idols to us. We worship those things. We feel that we can't live without them, when truly we can't live without God. We can live without those things. But if we live with God, we can share those things with Him. So how beautiful it is that He says first, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, meaning be converted. Turn around from those things that are distracting you from seeing that God is in our midst. The kingdom is in our midst. Jesus is in our midst. And then to believe, to have faith, to trust in who God is and who we were created to be. Again, Holy Communion. We're created to be Holy Communion with God. As God says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. I am your God. You are my people. I am your Father. You are my children. You are meant to be in this holy relationship with me. Holy covenant, Holy Communion. That's who we're meant to be. And He gives us the gift first to repent, that the Holy Spirit stirs in our hearts and then illumines our mind to be able to understand how we have offended God, how we have turned away from Him, and we have allowed other things and other people to distract us from living in the kingdom of God and allowing that kingdom to dwell inside of us. That the Holy Spirit that is moaning and groaning and praying inside of us, seeking us to be converted, to be moved by compassion, to be moved by pity for the ways that we have offended God and offended one another. That when we repent and we are converted, then we understand that that kingdom of God is in our midst and dwells inside of us, and we are welcome to enter into the kingdom at that moment when we convert and repent And God helps us to believe. As we heard Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How beautiful is that? Jesus, remember me when you come into my mind, my body, my soul, because I have become your temple. I have become your kingdom, the place where you want to reign and rule inside of me, so that my mind and my heart, my body, my soul, my spirit, my strength, all follow your command. Because this is your kingdom now, Jesus. That this mind belongs to you, this body belongs to you, this heart belongs to you, this soul belongs to you, these senses belong to you, this spirit belongs to you. It all belongs to you because you have saved it and you have recreated it into a domestic church. You have made it your kingdom so that you can dwell and rule inside of me, so that your commandment of love can be manifested in the world, so that you may plant seeds all over the place, so that your kingdom can continue to reign and dwell inside of all God's children, so that we can all be that mystical body of Christ, that kingdom, so that we can all dwell in the kingdom, and the kingdom can dwell inside of us. Yeah, Jesus, remember me when you enter into my heart, when you come into my soul in holy communion. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom, and then I may enter into you, into your heart, into your wounds, into your pierced side, so that I may dwell in you and you may dwell in me. What a beautiful way for us to realize that the kingdom of God is at hand. We must repent and believe. Jesus says, unless you believe in the Son of Man, unless you believe in the one that God sent to save you, to help you to be converted, to repent, that unless you believe in this one, you cannot have life within you. You cannot have the kingdom of God in you, and you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That unless we believe, we cannot have eternal life. We cannot live in God's presence. We cannot share in his holy grace. We cannot enter into the kingdom, and the kingdom cannot enter into us. And Jesus reminds us that the kingdom is who he is. He is the gospel. He is the word made flesh. That this word must be preached. It must be taught. It must be believed. You know, I recall the ordination to the diaconate. And one of the most moving moments is when you kneel before the bishop. And the bishop gives you the gospel. He holds on to it and he's sharing the gospel, the gift that has been given to him. He's sharing it with the one who has been ordained, the one who has been entrusted to be a herald of the good news, the herald of the gospel. And he says, believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you teach. That is, read this kingdom, read all about this kingdom, learn from this kingdom, and then share the kingdom with those in need. How beautiful that the kingdom is who Jesus is. It's the gospel. And we allow those words to enter into us, and we must enter into those words. I love when a beautiful priest once shared with me his version of Lectio Divina. That is, reading the divine word, that we spend time contemplating this beautiful gospel that invites us to enter into it and that it enters into us. Because it's not merely words on a page. No, these words are alive. They're Christ. That's why after we hear the gospel, that we say the gospel of the Lord, and we say praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, because it is Jesus himself who shares himself, his words, which are so efficacious. They move us. They encourage us. They cause us to be converted. They heal us. As we say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you under my roof, right? To allow your kingdom to come inside of me. But only say the word. Only say the gospel. Only preach the good news, and my soul shall be healed. These words are efficacious. And so these words that are in the gospel must be received. We must chew on them. We must contemplate them as a parable. They must draw us to ask ourselves, what is Jesus saying to me about his kingdom? What is Jesus inviting me into this day? And so this beautiful priest shares how he prays Lectio Divina. And then he says, four steps, as Lectio is, to read a small passage of the gospel, to take in a small passage, just a small little mustard seed, and allow that seed to be planted deep inside of us so the Holy Spirit could water it and give it light and make it grow so that it may bear fruit in abundance, so that then we can share those seeds with others. He says, first of all, the first step when we read the Holy Word of God is to consider, what does it say? Literally, what does it say? What are these words saying? For example, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So those are the actual words. That's what it says. That's step one. The second time when we receive the same words and we read them, and we allow them to be read in our hearts, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We have to ask ourselves, well, what does it say to me personally? What are those words saying to me right now, today, when I hear the kingdom of God is at hand? Repent and believe in the gospel. What is it saying to me? What is Jesus saying to you personally when you hear those words? And then step three is, what do I want to say to Jesus, to the sacred word? What do I want to say to him when I hear the kingdom of God is at hand? Repent and believe in the gospel. To share with Jesus, well, Jesus, at times I doubt. I don't believe, or I believe, but not perfectly. And it's hard for me to repent because I have so much unforgiveness in my heart, because I've been hurt so many times. Or I don't repent because I believe, Lord, that I've sinned so much that you don't have the power to forgive me. So it's just easier for me to keep sinning and excuse myself to keep sinning because, you know, I'm only human, and so I'm going to keep sinning, and it's impossible for God to save me or to help me. What do we want to say to the Word? And then ultimately, what is God inviting us into by reading this scripture passage? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What is God inviting us into today? Well, perhaps he's inviting you to consider the kingdom differently and how that kingdom might desire to enter into you more fully, so that you can truly repent and believe in the gospel and truly say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.